ability to allow her to ask tonight.
I will do that, okay. But again, I need to prepare. I need to know what the objection is so I know how to prepare for that.
I want to visit with the members of Planning and Zoning and find out why they made their decision.
Okay, okay.
And so I want to do some research on my end.
Okay.
I know you have a lot of upset neighbors, and I want to find out, was that the factor, was there another factor? And so I want to do some research.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
So if I can get something from her, like a written request, then I'll have it on file, and we will hear this at our next meeting. Is that what you guys have said?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, okay.
It just moves it up a month as opposed to waiting.
Waiting, right, yeah. I'll give you something before we leave tonight.
Okay, or okay. Email it to me tomorrow or something so okay. I have it in the file, and then
okay.
We'll have it on the agenda for the August. Okay. I believe it's August 16th.
Okay.
Is our Board of Adjustment meeting.
All right, great. Okay, thank you.
Next case is 17-05A, the permanent residents of Branson Creek. And the first person that has signed to speak is Karen.
Oh, the representative doesn't
know. Are you the representative?
No.
Okay.
Lisa is.
Are you all representatives?
I'm acting as a representative.
Susan?
I'm acting as a representative.
Okay.
You want to go through your PowerPoint on
yes,
this
please.
One?
Or?
Okay. Case number 17-05A is 112 North Tuscany. Lisa Aguirre is the applicant, or representative, I should say, for the permanent residence of Branson Creek. This one is actually a villa. Here's our entrance, Fieldstone Drive. Of course, it's highlighted there. And again, this is the same presentation that the Planning Commission saw. These are duplexes. These duplexes are held in condo-style ownership to where they just own the actual building, the duplex. This one was constructed in 2007. It's approximately 1,891 square feet, and as I mentioned before, it's held in condo-style ownership in the villas of Fieldstone at Branson Creek. Nightly rental is less than 30 days, and our maximum occupancy is the same, two persons per dwelling unit plus two persons per bedroom. For the nightly rental, one parking space for each two persons. I might go back to this to clarify. Originally, when these came through, they designated the number of bedrooms, but during this sequence of applications that came through, the Planning Commission changed this to the actual maximum occupancy definition, so it's up to the planning staff to go determine the bedrooms. So if it was a two-bedroom, they could only rent to six people. If it was a four-bedroom, they could rent to 10. So we have to field check each home. And the staff recommendations were the same. At that time, they recommended to sleep no more than eight, but then they took that off and put the maximum occupancy definition on there. And this is where that was changed. This was on March 31st, they changed that one decision of record item to the maximum occupancy. The permanent residents of Branson Creek are requesting to appeal the Planning Commission approval of Division 3 Special Use Permit 1643. This permit was approved for nightly rental at the February 21st, 2017 regular meeting with a vote of 4-1 on the motion of the six members present. Within this application of the appeal, applicant indicates the error in the Planning Commission approval is based on four factors. One would be nuisance. Two, not compatible within residential neighborhood. Three, buffer. And four, the villas are a two-bedroom, not a three-bedroom. And again, this was just the history. I think you guys have looked at that. This is the actual location on our approved and not approved map of this one. In the staff recommendations for the Board of Adjustments on this, if you would approve their appeal, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Board. One would be approve of an appeal to reverse the approval and nullify the original decision of record for the Division III Special Use Permit 1643 recorded at the Taney County Recorder's of Deeds Office March 31st, 2017. Two would be compliance with all of the other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. And three, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. Okay, that's what I have.
Lisa, you're going to be the applicant and Karen, you're going to speak. Is that correct?
I'm the applicant.
You're the applicant. Karen, would you like to speak?
Sure.
All right.
Well, my packet that I gave you before also pertains to this, but this one is a villa rather than a house. And the villas all around it have two occupants in it. It does, and they went in and they remodeled inside. And so they now are up to 10 in a little villa with a wall that has no soundproofing in it. So the permanent owner next door hears everything going on. That deck, I live here, there's the street, and their deck is across from my front door and my family room that I make upstairs in the loft. The loft is not supposed to be used for sleeping quarters. It is a fixed window. It has bars in the window, so try to, you know, break it or get out of it for safety. It's a stairway. They did put up a door at the bottom of the stairs, but you couldn't get out if there was a fire. It's definitely a safety issue. The overcrowding, I mean, it's not compatible. Everybody else has one or two. In fact, the lady next door is single. She has one in her villa, and she puts up with 8 to 10 people on a every weekend basis. It's very noisy. It's not compatible. Very steep driveway. Very. So the people don't want to park there. So they go over to the pool lot, and they want to park there. They're not supposed to. No street parking. Trucks can't get up it. Vans can't get up it. It's just not a compatible rental in our neighborhood. So I think it should be denied. It should be revoked. It's not compatible, and that's what the code is all stressed about. It stresses compatibility. It stresses, you know, not being an annoyance. All of that is stressed in the nightly rental code. Buffers are in the nightly rental code. It says buffers required. I do know that... I believe Scott believes that it doesn't go with the property, but Chuck Pennell is taxing these as partial commercial, so it did change. It's commercial. You have to have a buffer between commercial and residential. They're getting around about not doing that for some reason, but I think it would behoove the P&Z and also the Board of Adjustment to get an opinion from Mr. Cotty as to what the buffer requirements are. We have an opinion from an attorney who says they're required. But, you know, it's an opinion to an opinion. But what if Mr. Cotty concurred? Mr. Cotty concurred with us when we found out that the developer was renting illegally. They didn't get their permit. And he concurred with us. And the one reason why we're standing here today is because we feel that we were robbed on the first 16 that were approved because there wasn't a full board there, a full membership. When there were all there except one, it got denied. One of the reasons we haven't called to complain about anyone is because it wasn't ever posted. We didn't have any information to call. We couldn't call them. We didn't know who to contact. So that's one reason why, you know, when they did get their permit, they did have to post a number that we could call, but it is constant. We have nine of them in there with Sunset Rentals, and there's constant problems.
30 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not compatible.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Susan?
I know there's been a lot of questions about the legality of the nightly rentals out there, and I don't think we'll ever really, really know the true story of it. but I have a copy of my covenants, and it was recorded in 06. The decision of record was recorded in 05. And I have a copy of the concept hearing and the proposed sketch. The proposed sketch is nowhere near to how it was actually constructed. They changed the complete construction of Fieldstone totally. Nowhere in any of those recorded legal documents does it say anything about nightly rentals. I think that was an afterthought that came up in 2008 or 2009 when they signed into a so-called rental pool agreement that people that had bought their homes out there as a vacation home would sign an agreement with Branson Creek that when they were not occupied, they could be rented out. And they were used primarily to promote the construction of the Murder Creek Golf Course. And in that contract, it specifically says they had to be rented through Branson Creek. They could not rent it themselves. But the covenants do not, the wording in the covenants are all about single-family residents. And I have them here if you want to look at them. There's not a word about nightly rentals. And if I had known that nightly rentals would be permitted by investors, I would have never built in Branson Creek. I did not buy, I actually built. That was a lot of my money that I put out, and no one ever informed me of nightly rentals. As far as 112 North Tustin is concerned, I have witnessed numerous issues. Like Karen said, the driveway is extremely steep, so a lot of people prefer to park at the pool or on the side of the road. And that is not permitted in our covenants. On May the 28th, while I was walking, and this was in the middle of the afternoon, the deck that Karen is referring to, there were multiple people there, vacationers, and of course they're on vacation. They were drinking, they were yelling, there was music playing, they were cursing, and I was walking with a young couple, and it was very offensive to me. And at that time, I did call the managing company and made a complaint, and I also wrote an email to Scott Sterrett to complain. So this is what we were instructed to do. I mean, before we didn't have what to do with a complaint. Now we know. So we were instructed to do this. So basically, we have to take care of ourselves because the P&Z does not have any enforcement enactment.
Well, not on CCRs. We can't enforce
on any of the restrictions.
No.
Even the ones that you set forth. You have no enforcement.
Not on the CCRs.
On
the ones
anything.
You mentioned are the CCRs.
Well, that's just one example. On anything. You put these rules out here in regulations, but there's no one to see that they actually abide by them, except for us. So that's why we email you and say, so-and-so is parking on the street. So-and-so is doing this. That's what I'm referring to. So yes, to the investors that speak ill of the residents, we do make calls and we do take pictures. Like I said, because the P&Z has no enforcement, so we are left to protect our own neighborhood from those rotating transients that are not vetted. And like we said before, 112 is advertising an occupancy of 10 people. So yes, there's always noise. And I would venture to guess that none of these investors, which never have lived in these homes out here, they bought them for investment purposes, they probably do not have a nightly rental living next door to them. And I believe their main objective is to make money with no regards to how it affects the livelihood of the residents of Branson Creek. and I hope that you will reverse this and deny them to being a nightly rental.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gordon?